Welcome to Slaughterhouse Stories. I hope you enjoy the stories I have for you tonight. Hello, to all you things that go bump in the night. Hello, to all you fleshbag humans as well. Welcome to the show that brings you creepypastas, short scary stories, and dark horror-themed poetry from all across the world. This is the Slaughterhouse Stories Podcast, Episode 41, My Last Halloween. I'm your host and narrator, Ghost Train, telling you to lock your doors, get under your blanket, and keep the lights on. If you want to discuss all things spooky with me, you can find the links to my socials in the show notes. Also, if you'd like to write in and have your email read on the show, email slaughterhousestoriespodcast@gmail.com with creepypasta requests or your own real-life paranormal encounters. Before we get to tonight's first story, I'd like to ask you a favor. If you're enjoying the show, please head over and leave a review through iTunes and help spread the word to your friends, family, the hand reaching out to snatch your child. Whomever, tell them, be a listener, not a victim. Now, let's get spooky. Being in the open ocean is terrifying enough, even if you're in a vessel designed to be there. Do you know what makes it more terrifying, other than Cthulhu all of a sudden grabbing your vessel? If you notice a leak, water pouring in, a crack, a sign that the ship is as doomed as Jack when Rose wouldn't let him on the goddamn door. But you stay calm. You have to escape. But can you? Can the subject of tonight's first story? Will he enjoy the best breath of his entire life? Or will he be sentenced to a watery grave? Settle in, take a deep breath, and find out as you listen to Waterlogged. I awoke to the sound of rushing water. Taking a glance at the hatch, I noticed that the water was seeping into the small room. I bolted to the porthole of the steel hatch. The hallway was filled to the brim with murky seawater. Pressing my face to the surface of the porthole, a crack appears in the thick, frigid glass. Taking a step back, the crack widens into a small rivet in the otherwise clear glass. My heart pounded as I considered my few options of my quickly fleeting life. Open the door and attempt to swim to the surface of the ocean in which the ship was sinking in, or wait to drown in the room as it flooded with water like a trapped rat. I made the logical decision of trying to survive and escape this prison. I placed my shaking hands on the cool metal of the hatch door as I twist the opening mechanism. I inhale what may be the final breath of oxygen I may take in my life as the hatch door opens and I am greeted by a bone-chilling wave of salt water. The numbing water instantly rushes around me. Heart skipping a beat, I dove into the water, swimming against the current of the water pouring into the lower decks of the sinking ship. I swam to the ladder, leading to the deck of the boat. As I gripped the metal rungs of the ladder with my numb hands, I felt a slight tug at my ankle. Not wasting a split second of oxygen, I continued up the ladder. Reaching the top of the ladder, I propelled myself through the open hatch. The boat was about 25 feet under the surface of the ocean. My oxygen-deprived lungs protested to take a breath of the murky salt water. I felt so heavy, as if my body was held down by an invisible anchor. Every stroke I took towards the surface, I felt hands tightening around my lungs. I had learned to hold my breath for long periods of time from playing trumpet through high school, even as my oxygen supply diminished, as I moved as fluently as my incoherent brain tried to comprehend my need to survive and keep a steady pace as I moved through the frigid water. The light shining through the water was slowly growing brighter as I swam closer to the surface. I remember when I was a child, diving into the swimming pool after diving rings, chlorine from the pool stinging my eyes as I reached for the brightly colored rings. I felt the soft warmth of the sun's gentle beams pierce the ocean surface. I was almost there. oxygen. I'd been in the water for several eternities. Has it been days or years? Or has it been a breath? My lungs seemed like shriveled paper bags, an invisible noose choking me to my watery grave. The world is a dull haze, a teal haze. The salt and the cruel waves tormented my eyes. I felt so dizzy. The world spun in a salty teal haze. I gazed up at the sun through the waves of my prison. I gave one last paddle towards the surface, my fingertips inches away from the fresh air I so desperately craved. I reached upwards to pull myself above the surface of the water. I felt a soft tug at my ankle. My heart sank like the boat that damned me to this hell. I looked down and saw a chain cuffed to my ankle, leading down to the bottom of this watery prison. A chain. I was chained to the boat, the carriage to this inescapable purgatory. With my last ounce of energy, I inhaled a breath of salt-tainted water, lungs burning with the sensation of pain. Fire in a water of purgatory. Fire, the last thing I felt before I lost consciousness.
Well, someone was clearly a very, very bad human and ended up chained in a boat. I wonder what that fleshbag did. I'm sure he deserved to go down with the ship and end up as squid food. I mean, he was a human after all. But for now, let's leave the open ocean behind, ignore the whale calls, and move on to the next story. This one, by Gentleman Walrus, examines the gas field effect. The effect the mind has when all light and sound are gone, and there is only shadow. Are they merely hallucinating? Or is something lurking in those shadows? Turn your lights off, lean back, and gaze into the darkness of your room as you listen to The Casting of Shadows.
Sometimes, our brain likes to play tricks. It has the ability to wake us, but hold us in place as our dreams break into reality. It also has the ability to create things in our day-to-day lives. Figures, creatures, even noises can spawn from the back of our minds. Sleep deprivation, drugs, they're all factors. But little do people know about other times our brain decides to hallucinate. The Ganzfeld effect is a fabulous example. The principle is simple. If you distance yourself from everything, from sound, from sight, from stimulus, you start to see shapes, you start to hear noises, just as much as you would if you were doped up on some hallucinogenic chemical. Creatures coming from full-blooded boredom. On the surface, it sounds just like a pleasant bit of trivia, and the common man, when hearing this, usually shrugs and walks on with his day-to-day existence. But you're still listening, aren't you? So I figure you want to know the eternal question. Why? Even scientists are baffled. They say that the brain requires stimulus, and as a result, it creates shapes to quell the boredom. But it still doesn't explain dreams as to why, when we try and rest, our brain creates scenarios, creatures. It certainly doesn't explain the horrific ones. Dreams of illness, of fear, of pain, nightmares. I have a theory. Our brains, being as intelligently built as they are, have a subconscious knowledge. A shadow from the corner of your eye, when you feel that someone is following you. You can't see them, but you know they're there. Surely, it would make sense for it to prepare us for when the feeling comes too close. When the feeling is real. To test us with shadows, with figments, to keep us on our toes. But this raises another question. Another unpleasant question. If our brain creates monsters and figures to prepare us, then what is out there? What are we going to find when it's not just paranoia? When there is a man following you, when there is a figure, when the shadow is not alone, but cast from something very, very real.
Thank you. So humans, what do you think? Are the shapes and movement you see in the shadows just your mind playing tricks on you, filling in the gaps? Do you really believe that? Then please, explain the hot breath on the back of your neck while you try to slow your pulse and calm your racing heartbeat. Let me give you this week's recommendation. This week, in honor of spooky season and Halloween month, I am recommending the movie 31 by Rob Zombie. 5 carnival workers are kidnapped the night before Halloween and held hostage in a large compound. At the mercy of their captors, they are forced to play a twisted game of life or death called 31. For the next 12 hours, they must fight for their lives against an endless parade of homicidal maniacs. This is centered around Halloween and is a fun, disturbing movie that is fun for the whole family, even the kids, if those kids are 30. Ignore the shadows. Put this on your watch list for spooky season and enjoy 31. Now that I have given you this week's recommendation, let's take a trip down to open mic night at Beazlepub. Welcome, fiends, to open mic night at Beazlepub, where we invite you to sit right here and go into the more poetic side of fear. Poems of murder, creatures, and ghosts. All the things that scare you the most. Tonight at the Pub is another Halloween-themed poem. This one, written by someone known only as Jasmine to start us off. And then, we have an appearance by the one and only, Edgar Allan Poe, with a poem that he deemed to be better than The Raven. I don't agree, but this is an amazing poem all the same. Get a drink. Let the spooky rhymes into your soul. And enjoy Night of Fright and The Sleeper. Monsters stalking through the night. Halloween is the night of fright. Fear is what this night brings, along with many other things. Are you sure you are prepared? Tonight is not for the easily scared. Creatures from hell roam on this night. For tonight is the night of fright. Trick or treat, you say. You should not have waited until the end of the day. Tonight you would lose your tricks and treats, for the monsters need to eat. You better not take this night lightly, or else you will truly learn what fright means. In ancient times, people feared this night, the night they greeted with fright. Why they were so scared, you will soon see. On this, All Hallows' Eve. At midnight in the month of June, I stand beneath the mystic moon. An opiate vapor, dewy dim, exhales from out her golden rim, and softly dripping drop by drop upon the quiet mountaintop, steals drowsily and musically into the universal valley. The rosemary nods upon the grave, the lily lulls upon the wave, wrapping the fog about its breast. The ruin molders into rest, looking like Lethe, see the lake. A conscious slumber seems to take, and would not for the world wake. All beauty sleeps, and lo where lies, her casement open to the skies, Irene with her destinies. O lady bright, can it be right, this window open to the night, the wanton airs from the treetop, laughing through the lattice drop. The bodiless airs, a wizard rout, flit through thy chamber in and out, and wave the curtain canopy, so fitfully, so fearfully, above the closed and fringed lid, neath which thy slumbering soul lies hid, that over the floor and down the wall, like ghosts the shadows rise and fall. O lady dear, hast thou no fear? Why and what art thou dreaming here? Sure thou art come over far off seas, a wonder to these garden trees. Strange is thy pallor, strange thy dress, strange above all thy length of tress, and all this solemn silentness. The lady sleeps, O may her sleep, which is enduring, so be deep. Heaven have her in its sacred keep. This chamber changed for one more holy, this bed for one more melancholy. I pray to God that she may lie, forever with unopened eye, while the dim-sheeted ghosts go by. My love, she sleeps, oh may her sleep, as it is lasting, so be deep. Soft may the worms about her creep, far in the forest, dim and old. For her, may some tall vault unfold, some vault that often hath flung its black, and we get panels fluttering back, triumphant over the crested palls of her grand family funerals, some sepulcher remote alone, against whose portal she hath thrown, in childhood, many an idle stone, some tomb from out whose sounding door she never shall force an echo more. Thrilling to think, poor child of sin, it was the dead who groaned within. I mean, could we have a spooky season without some poetry from Poe? I don't think so. Again lamenting about the loss of his love and the eternal sleep they are in. And Jasmine was absolutely right. The ghosts and monsters are out there waiting. And we are so, so hungry. So while you leave the pub and again try to avoid being eaten, let me tell you the final story of the night. The main feature of spooky season. Here is Halloween Horror. For this week's Halloween-themed feature is a story by Locked334 about a father who loves, really, really loves Halloween. And he has his two sons out trick-or-treating and filling up their bags with candy. But one part everyone forgets about trick-or-treat is the trick part. And this father will learn the hard way that not every trick can make you laugh. Settle in, keep the lights off, and enjoy my last Halloween. Halloween used to be my favorite holiday. It was the one time of year you could be anything you wanted to be. You could draw out your darkest desires and display them for the world to see. No one would think you were odd for being the person you always wanted to be. There was no judgment for your choice of attire, and oftentimes you were commended for that choice. Then, at the end of the night, you received a reward for your efforts in the form of a bag full of candy. I am far too old to go door to door begging for treats. But I enjoy watching my children do the same. Weeks in advance, we let them pick their costumes. They are far too young to delve into the ghastly and usually end up picking a character of a popular movie or TV show. I simply take my pictures and urge them onto each doorway. I always remind them to say trick or treat before the door opens. It has been this way for a few years now, but I'm starting to question the tradition, especially after visiting 113 Forest Road. This past year, we made the rounds of our local neighborhood. We made sure to only approach the homes that had their porch light on, which was the unspoken rule. Our night had almost come to an end when we reached a home that had been vacant for the last two seasons. It was the largest within our neighborhood, towering at two stories when all others only had one level. It was a large brick Victorian monstrosity that may have once been beautiful, but the landscape had long needed work. It was the house most kids made stories about. And when we saw the dim glow of that yellow bulb, I was unsure of letting my children approach. My oldest begged to ring the doorbell, and my youngest simply wanted more candy. I was outnumbered and relented at their pleas. My wife sat within the idling vehicle, while I followed close behind. The two made their way up the steps, and I waited at the bottom. Like always, I reminded them of what to say. My oldest son held his brother's hand and pressed the lighted button, ringing. Much like church bells, echoed from within the house for a moment, before returning to silence. After a few seconds, they turned to me with questioning looks. I had noticed a moving truck parked outside the home earlier in the month, and knew someone must live there, but I had not seen them. There was no car in the driveway, and I did not see any lights on inside. I started to think they were simply gone and left the light on, in case it was dark by the time they returned. I waved to my children to come back to the car, and told them we would just head home. The look of disappointment on their faces told me they were not ready for the night to end just yet. Their faces lit up as the door creaked to life and a voice beckoning them to wait.
Trick or treat!
They both screamed with excitement. A feeling rolled in me like thunder, and a signal of danger rang in my head. Something was not right. If they were home all this time, where was the car I had seen sitting in the driveway the last few weeks? I instinctively advanced on my two children, taking the steps in leaps. A feeling inside me told me they should not go towards that voice, and I called for them to stop as they turned towards the door.
I choose both.
The voice seemed strained, like that of a lifetime smoker. Two ragged hands shot from the parted pathway and drew both of my little boys inside. Their screams echoed in my head. My adrenaline shot me forward, but my body slammed against the closing door. I pounded repeatedly, screaming obscenities of every nature. My body shook violently as my world became a spiral of despair. The whole scene drew the attention of my wife, and soon she was right behind me. In an effort to find the entry, I took a step back, lifted my right foot and dropped it full force into the hardwood. The doorframe shattered, allowing the barrier to fly freely into the darkness. I cried out in terror for my little boys as I rushed through each room. My entire reason for living had been snatched up in an instant, and I had been too late to stop it. When the house had been searched completely with no results, my wife called the authorities through wails of agony. We both held each other until sirens lit up our tiny neighborhood. It has been a year now, and we still have no answer as to what happened to our children. My wife distanced herself from me, and I'm sure she blames me for what happened. I don't fault her for that. I blame myself as well. If I had not let them go to that door, or listened to my feelings sooner, they would both still be here. Halloween is no longer a time of fun for us, but a reminder of our mistakes. I don't even leave my house on that night, and even the sight of a pumpkin makes tears stream down my face. The drive home from work is especially hard. Witnessing the houses that decorate for the occasion, I am almost in a panic before I close myself within the safety of my home. Please, if you hear this, don't let your kids visit 113 Forest Road on Halloween. Well, humans, as you can see, sometimes you have to be very careful about where you send your child and how far back you'll stand. And maybe, just maybe, don't send them to the house that has been abandoned for years. Just a thought. Unless, of course, you want a hand to reach out from behind the door and make off with your children. You might. Humans are weird. But now I believe there's enough scares for this week. I hope you will join me again next week for more stories that are sure to keep you afraid during the day and awake at night. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the stories that I had for you tonight. And until next time.
Stay spooky.